listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 4th, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly joins us as usual as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
I'd like to welcome those joining us live as well as those listening to the archives. Good to have you here. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. And from our charter, we focus on education. That's what this program is really about, is education. And we have a number of educational programs. We have EmpoweredRecovery.com, which is for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts. We have Paranexus.org, which is an association of anomalous researchers. And our flagship school is MetaphysicsInstitute.org, where we teach practical life skills, among many, many other things. We offer doctoral degrees in spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, paranormal, and a bunch of other areas, leadership, and so on. And that's at MetaphysicsInstitute.org. And then we have Thomas Francis University, where we offer standalone metaphysical-related courses. But they also teach life skills and a variety of different things, including degrees at tfuniversity.org. Before we get into our main topic this evening, which is on overcoming obstacles and reaching your potential, I want to relate a story that was turned in by one of our students. And, you know, we've talked about paying it forward. That's the work that metaphysical humanists do. We pay it forward, and even in little ways. I mean, we look for opportunities every day to pay it forward. And so we have a student who's doing really well in the program, and she, one of the questions is, you know, relate something that, you know, that to, in the pay it forward sense vein that you did, and it was discussed in the course and whatnot. And so this is what she wrote. She's a school teacher, and this is what she wrote. And I'd like to share it with you because I think it's great. So she writes, "I started thinking about how I could touch a larger number of people and then realized this might be something I could accomplish through the students in my school. So I decided to talk to my students about how we can be good friends to each other by using our heads and using our hearts. I asked my students to look for, quote, magic moments in the school day, where they could tell a friend that they were doing something nice. Earlier in the day, I had noted a few situations and brought them to the attention of the class. For example, I told the children that one student offered to carry the lunchbox of her friend who was wearing a cast. I noted that she was using her heart, quote unquote, to be a helpful friend. Additionally, I pointed out that one child figured out a clue I had given to the class. I said she had used her head, quote unquote, and was being a clever student. Then I encouraged the other children to notice when their classmates also had a magic moment. Since that time, my students are really enjoying validating each other. I thought that though I might be able to validate others on occasion, I felt it would be much better for children to learn to notice and point out when their friends were doing something noteworthy." And that's the end of the story. But, I mean, isn't that an excellent way to get children on the path of doing the right thing, doing no harm, but yet doing right? Because doing no harm is not always good enough. We have to do right. And that's what she got her students thinking, you know, magic moments and looking for opportunities to help out. That's paying it forward. And that's what we do as metaphysical humanists. So I hope this has been an encouraging story. Look for opportunities every day that you can use to help somebody out, lighten the load of someone, because, you know, when we give it away, we keep so much more ourselves, right? You know, when we do something good and help somebody who needs that help, you know, we feel good about that too, and that's our contribution to humanity. All right, so as I started last week, instead of relating all of our nine principles of belief, I'm kind of relating each one as we go. And tonight we're on the second principle of belief, number two. And I'll read it. This is not the abbreviated version. This is the regular version from the website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. Principle number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. We invoke and exert the counselor and guru within. And so this, of course, fits right in with our topic tonight, which is overcoming obstacles and reaching your potential. Michael, comments? Introduce us.
Well, absolutely, like you said, overcoming our obstacles and reaching our potential. And let's really look at the latter part of that. What is our potential? Humanity has, let's put it this way, every mind and soul is a universe unto itself of possibility and thought. Humanity, we are creators. We are builders. We expand, we empower ourselves, and we enlighten ourselves and each other. And to really understand how we can overcome our obstacles, we need to be able to see our potential individually and as a people. And just like it says, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit, and we know that the answers we seek already exist within us. And we're going to come up to obstacles every day, just trying to make it by a lot of times. It's just trying to pay the rent, just trying to keep things going. And it's hard sometimes to progress, to expand your knowledge, to expand your awareness of the world around you, or even to reach that next level of whatever you're pursuing, whatever project you're on. It can be any number of different things. Academics. And we have to be able to see and really visualize as best we can that true potential that lies within each of us. Because there are really no limits when it comes to the human spirit, when it comes to the mind, when it comes to the soul and what we can see. I use soul a bit metaphorically, just meaning the spirit, and it's kind of the essence of what we collectively are. But there is limitless potential, and if we focus on tapping that for ourselves individually, not only will our lives be improved by it, but our world will be improved by it. We will make a bigger impact, a bigger positive difference in the world around us if we can continually push ourselves to that next level, to that next step, to that higher awareness, more knowledge, greater empathy, and to build a better world. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to some group discussion and thoughts.
Well, the only thing that came to my mind is getting married because I was in love with his potential. Sorry. And that was dumb.
Well, unfortunately, that's the problem, is that potential is not always realized. It's not just going to happen. You have to work at it.
Exactly. That's absolutely true. But the desire has to be individual.
Absolutely.
It's to awaken to your own. And I see a lot of potential for humanity and a lot of potential for the people. Then I have to gauge, at least in my view, is what's actual. And then work from the actual, making my own contributions to what's possible. And sometimes it feels slower than we'd like it to be. And I'm speaking, you know, even globally here. You know, we have a lot of potential. You know, it's funny, Dr. Angie just said in the chat, everybody has potential, but not everyone has the drive. Exactly. Yep. You know, it's if we become too complacent, or as you said, Michael, you know, it's Maslow's hierarchy, right? If you're looking for food and you're looking for shelter and you're, you know, trying to figure out the day, it's very hard to think existentially and what's my potential. You know, you're just trying to get through a day. But I think that potential and hope kind of partner in this is that if we didn't have some kind of hope that things could be better toward a particular potential, I think we'd all give up. I really do. So we have to be careful not to be too in love with hope or too in love with potential, but look at what's actual and participate. And this is my big hang up, is how we all need to individually and collectively, participate in life. And even if that's at a very small level, because every action is a participation and we decide how that's going to happen.
Good points. So, talking about overcoming obstacles, and so you mentioned Maslow's hierarchy, and of course at the foot of that, at the base of that, and a lot of people are familiar with it. If you've been through our program, you're familiar with it. And it's taught in colleges and all that, schools, but at the bottom, it's real difficult to think about self-actualization if you're starving to death. And Vicki, you have a saying, you can't think straight when you're hungry, horny, or you got to go to the bathroom. Is that what it was?
When you're in pain, you have to pee, or your hormones are raging. You can't think straight.
That's the politically correct way of saying it.
That's right.
So when you're faced with all these obstacles in your life, the first order of business is to overcome them, right? So let's break it down into simple terms, into a simple concept. Obstacles, adversity, what is it? Simple. It's a state of disorder. That's all it is. Adversity is a state of disorder. Obstacles are a state of disorder. If we have challenges and problems in life, it's simply a state of disorder. The solution to getting beyond those, to getting rid of those, that adversity, obstacles, whatever, is to put things back in their proper order. Use the simple analogy of a cluttered up room. You maybe it's a bedroom or something. The bed's unmade. There's stuff scattered everywhere you walk into it. You can liken that to adversity. It's obstacles. You can't get anywhere because you're walking over, stumbling over stuff, whatever. Those are obstacles. And the whole room is simply in a state of disorder. And we all know when we clean up the room, make the bed, put things back in their spot, we put everything back in its proper order, then that room ceases to have obstacles. It's cleaned up. We even feel a little bit lighter. We feel good because everything's in its place. It looks good. It's cleaned up. There's no clutter. And that's really what life is about. It's a matter of putting things back in their proper order. And that's a simple concept to understand, but it's not always easy to implement. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of strength. But fortunately, the human spirit is indomitable. You can do anything you want. The only reason you can't do anything you want is because you told yourself you can't do it. And as I've told a slew of coaching clients, I don't want to hear all the reasons why you can't do it. I want to hear all the reasons why you can do it. Don't tell me you can't do it. I don't want to hear that. I'm never going to accept that. Never tell me you can't do something. Never say that's too hard, ever. Ask, how hard can it be? That's the best question. And then you go and you do it. So if your life is full of obstacles and problems and challenges, the first order of business is to put those back in their proper order. And that can require some big steps at times. And you have to have courage, you have to have strength, and you have to have hope that you can get beyond it. In fact, once you do get beyond it, you're going to look back and say, gee, why didn't I do that a lot sooner? That always happens. So there is hope, and you can do this, but you have to do it. So it comes to problem solving, right? Solution finding. And we've talked about that too. You identify the problem, you determine steps or corrective actions, and in that process you ask questions like, what would be the stupidest thing to do to correct this? What should I not do to correct this? What would be way out there to correct this? What would be counterintuitive? What do I think I should do? That's creative problem solving. You're listing all these different things. And then you determine the best course of action and you act on it and then you come back and you revise it if necessary. You review it. But these kind of obstacles can be a lot of things. It can mean splitting up relationships, intimate relationships, marriages, whatever. But if it's toxic, if it's killing you, you got to do what you got to do, folks. Remember, do no harm, do right. do the right thing, but do the right thing for you too. Don't, you know, the problem with so many people is they're so kind-hearted and they want the best for everyone, which is the traits of codependent people, because codependent people are very strong. They, you know, they want to carry the burdens of the world on their shoulders, and they're kind-hearted and they want to do the right thing, and that they end up shooting themselves in the foot all the time. Basically, the motto of a codependent person is, I win if you win. An assertive person is, I win, you win. And that's the way it's got to be. It's got to be win-win, not I win if you win. It's win-win. So whatever you've got to do to overcome those obstacles, lay down your plan step by step. They can be small steps, but know where you're going, know where you're at, and lay down your plan to get there. Comments?
Well, I think it's a matter of priorities, too. You know,
sure, certainly.
When it becomes a matter of priority, there's no effort to get it done. Like if your back's against a wall, and or if you want something bad enough, you know, then it's that becomes a priority. So very often we're kind of scattered in our prioritizing. You know, this past weekend, I've been putting this off for a long time, but I've got this whole closet full of business stuff, boxes full of probably 30, 40 years of papers, and oh, good grief. And I was looking for a paper on the weekend while doing my taxes. Well, before I knew it, in 4 hours, I had that whole closet cleaned out, organized, 2 boxes of recycling, 1 whole big box of garbage, you know, another box of shredding, and I went, I can't believe I just did that. But finding a piece of paper was a priority, and then I got incentive while I'm in there. I said, whoa, I just made a mess. And now that whole closet, I can actually even close the door without hitting a tub. So, you know, it sounds like a silly thing.
Put the things back in our proper order.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I did it based on a priority, you see. So it's, I think that's an issue. When things are a priority for us, we tend to it. When you want it bad enough, you tend to it. Your life's out of order. Well, what's the first order of priority? What's the first thing you need to tackle? And I got to say, there's times when one small step can feel huge when you're in a rut. You know, when it's like, oh, man, I got so many things to do. It's so overwhelming. Well, just take one thing. I asked a friend of mine who had this massive house how she kept her house clean, honestly, because I couldn't have done it. It's huge. And her house is immaculate. And she goes, well, I take one room a day. And I went, oh, I guess that's a plan. Yeah, she had so many rooms, it would take her 2 weeks to get to that same room again. But she just does one room a day. And it probably takes her an hour or two, but that's how she tackles that. You know, that's what she does, and that's how she keeps her. Dr. Angie said, "Hire a maid."
Yeah.
Well, she didn't like people in her house. Funny, hey? It's again, it's prioritizing and finding ways to manage whatever you do have on your plate. And again, if it's important enough, you know, we have students who look, life happens and we totally get it. But enthusiasm wears thin if it then becomes more of an effort than a priority. You know, you start out, well, this is the priority. I really want it and I'm really enthusiastic. And then you get sidetracked and, oh, it's such an effort to get your brain over into another, like, pathway. But it's, and again, it's kind of like that woman with the rooms in her house. You know, if you just do one room a day or a week, or pardon me, a day, and you just did one chapter a week. And it's those disciplines, but again, you have to want it. It has to be a need. It has to be like your, how you function to keep things manageable and to prevent chaos. That's basically it. So when you're setting a goal, her goal was one room a day. Mine is this and yours is that. And it's just whatever is important to us in our lives. Because each of us has our own reality. I never had a big house. So there you go.
Comments, Michael?
Well, I agree with those points very much. A lot of times is a question, I think, a lot immensely of motivation. And really, we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to accept in our lives? Are we going to accept disorder? Or are we going to push ourselves to, and by when I say push ourselves, I mean really dig deep to find that motivation to put the energy into putting our lives in order. And then once we get all those pieces lined up, things are going to move more smoothly. Your path is going to go quicker. If we can organize our lives, we're going to be able to, you know, focus on our educational studies, expanding our minds, our knowledge, and we're also going to be able you're going to be able to do your profession better. You're going to be better at your job, more efficient, and you're just going to be a better person to be around, honestly, you know. So there, the reason I bring up potential, for me personally, it's a motivator. If I have things in disorder, I look at the potential of what it could be, and I build towards that. I see it, you see it in your mind's eye, and you create it, in a way of speaking. And it can be literal, like the house, or it could be a series of relationships in your life, or the trajectory your life is on. And, you know, not to plug it too much, but a lot of skills that you can use to really get to that place in life of order, you can find going through the courses and going through the school, ICMHS. And it's powerful. And it's relevant to what we're seeing today.
Yes, we teach all these different things, you know, and I'm going to be candid for a moment too. You know, we have a lot of students, and a lot of them end up getting distracted with different things because, frankly, sometimes it's just a lot easier to sit down and watch a TV show than to study. And it is what it is. I mean, I can't control that. We can't make people study. We can't make people achieve their dreams or reach their goals. We can't do that. I mean, we teach that. It's not in my power. But as an educator, I want the best for everyone. I want the best for my students. And so a lot of times we try to encourage students with our video newsletters and things that we send out to students. We try to encourage those who are having a bit of a hard time to not forget the dreams that they had, the objectives that they had when they enrolled. And if you're a student listening to this and you haven't been studying, you know, it's your choice. I mean, it's entirely up to you. There's no judgment or shame here. But what you're doing is shooting yourself in the foot. Because whether you complete the program or get your degree or not matters the most to you. It's your life. And that's the thing that I want to stress to our students and to everyone. It's your life. Live it. Don't live your life for somebody else. That's wrong. That's not healthy. That's dysfunctional. We've all done that. Okay, but we learn not to. You need to live your life for you. You need to step up, reach out, and grab on to what you want in life. Because trust me, especially if you're younger, the day's going to come when you're going to wonder where all the time went, when you're going to wonder how it all flew by, and you haven't gotten and achieved what you wanted to do because you were too distracted with the mundane things of life. And that's what happens to all of us, unless we're vigilant, unless we are geared that way to think, wait, I can't get distracted with things that don't really matter. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have fun. Doesn't mean you can't watch TV. It just means that you have to have, as Dr. Hunter earlier said a few minutes ago, is you have to have priorities. What are your priorities? Yes, you need to have downtime. You need to have entertainment and those kinds of things. That's all important and healthy. But you also need to achieve your dreams and your goals and reach your objectives, and you need to make a difference to the world that you lived. I mean, everybody has that. Everybody wants that. And you have to hold on to that hope and basically fulfill your potential. Michael mentioned that a few minutes ago too. Are you fulfilling your potential? And if not, why not? Because whether you do or not matters the most to you. Yes, we all want you to reach your potential, but in at the bottom line, it's not going to affect our lives if you do or don't. It is going to affect your life whether you do or don't. You know, whether I reach my potential or not is not going to have a huge bearing on the world necessarily, but it's going to have a huge bearing on my world. And so if you're not reaching your potential. If you're not actively pursuing your potential, don't hold back. You know, don't allow that anymore. Change your mind, because you know your outside world is nothing more than a reflection of your inside world. So, if you have obstacles and challenges and things, solve those.
See, it's very interesting.
Go forward.
It's interesting because I don't operate from a place of my own potential, and that's just how we're all different. I operate from a place of need and what I think is just important. So, again, it's different.
However you want to – it's semantics.
Yeah.
You know, what you say is need, but come on, Vicki, look at what you've done.
Well, see, now I'm going to be perfectly honest. The reason I joined IMHS was, first of all, to get my ordination. And the reason I did that, I had been doing counseling. I had my certification in hypnosis. I've been doing readings. I heard that the government where I live was about to force people, pass a law, that would force anybody who deals with the public to go and take a government training program. And I thought, no, you can't tell me how to be with people. You can't make me do that. And so this is just being perfectly honest with everybody. I said, in order for me, I already understood the laws. In order for me to be legal, I have to get an ordination. And this was at a time when IMHS, you could get your ordination and take the course and pass that before you go and take your degree. And as you recall, Dr. Kelly, I went for a little holiday and came back and I said, you know, I think I'd really like this degree. A PhD wouldn't be so bad behind my name. But I did it out of need and because I thought they can't be the boss of me. So how do I legally cover myself? Now, going through the program was awesome. Getting a PhD, man, that just changes everything, doesn't it? And matters of credibility and how certain people respond. It's the education. It was challenging myself to actually go to school, take exams. Are you kidding? And I was 55. I thought, does my brain work that way? And we have very different processing. Each of us has different kinds of thought processing, emotional processing. We're all very different. But that was part of my challenge, too, is to see things from a different angle, a different point of view. So I just saw it as a challenge. And as you know, I was pretty hungry for it. And I happened to have this moment of time where I had nothing on my plate. So I just dove in. But for me, that was, and again, it's based on need and what I want. And it was something, if I get an idea stuck in my head, I just go do it. If I have to sit around thinking long enough or too long with something, it usually means I'm trying to find all the angles, which is necessary, or I'm just playing a little mind game with myself, and it's not that important. So then I have to strategize and make different kinds of game plans, you know? But if you want something bad enough or you need it bad enough, then that's how I operate. Or, man, I'm leaving that kind of life. I'm going over there. And I have that kind of mindset where to think of potential, this is just me. This isn't anybody else. This is just me saying if I have to think of my potential, I deflate. Because then I start thinking too many other possibilities. And then I have that fiery kind of nature, that Scorpio kind of thing that goes on that says, no, I want that. And I just go do it. And some things might take me longer than I thought. Yeah, it's that closet. Nah, never mind. But then I get it done. It feels really good. So we each operate from different points of view. And I guess I'm just throwing that in to let the audience know, other people know that call upon whatever force in yourself is required. And know how your thinking works. Know how your emotions work. Know how you approach life and challenge yourself to do things that are hard and only because it's really interesting. Find yourself interesting. Now, if you're bummed out, having a hard time, just struggling, everybody gets it. We've all been there. It's just harder. So then it's just that doing that one thing at a time, you know. So, again, we all come from a different point of view,
sure,
which is cool. I think it's great.
Choose whatever word, whatever flavor you want, but go out and be all that you can be without necessarily joining the army, you know. Michael, any concluding thoughts?
Well, I think it's a great point to bring up that Dr. Hunter did, and we all have different needs. And, you know, one thing that I was just thinking about, Dr. Angie in chat was talking about how you've been an inspiration and a mentor, and I was thinking to myself that a lot of the conversations that we've had tonight, I remembered having with you 15 years ago, and then probably again 10 years ago, and then probably again 6 years ago. And it's not always an easy thing, but nothing worth doing in this life is easy. You're right, it is easy to watch a TV show, read a book, go out, do something, you know, easy and relaxing, and there needs to be a balance. You need to have that in your life. You absolutely do. But it needs to be balanced out with the higher aspirations of building the you that you want to be, and building that life over time, building those skills, building that knowledge.
Good points. Well, very good.
Dr. Angie just brought up a point as she's talking here too about her passion. She didn't think it could be a career because it's not like work. That's a huge statement. When you love something and it doesn't seem difficult, you feel kind of guilty because it's supposed to be work, you know? And yet if you love it, you will be successful, as she just wrote just now in the chat. When you love what you do, it isn't work. And I really believe, and I wished all people could experience that, to love their life, to love what you do. I mean, I generally love what I do. I'm not a very good civilian. I never have been. I've been self-employed my entire life. I've taken contract work. I've done other things. You know, I raised kids, had to make money. But I'm good at that. Other people aren't so good at being self-employed. So you got to find whatever way that you work with life. And just accepting, don't feel bad because you can't be like somebody else or do it their way. It's just find your ways and do your best to do something that you like, that you're passionate about. And even if it is, you know, we had this discussion the other day, Dr. Kelly, about people going through a metaphysical programming, thinking that they need to change their career from their day job. And that's just not true. This program can help people be better at their day job, absolutely. But maybe this is also something you could do on the side. You know, you've got your day job, whatever that is, but you still like it, and that's giving you, you know, a good income, and hopefully with benefits. But that's not to say that you can't do something on the side or part-time or Saturdays or volunteer. And it's being able to incorporate this into the full life experience rather than that, if I can't be a spiritual counselor, I can't take the course. You know, that kind of thing. And we have all kinds of belief systems to break down to understand how learning basic skills and different kinds of mysticism and even about UFOs, how that plays into that bigger scheme of things and saying, oh, that just put a whole new angle on life. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. And when you learn that stuff and you find it interesting and exciting, it gives a new kind of appeal to living your daily life. That's what I think.
Good point. So if you'd like a card pulled for you, please put your name in the chat room. And we'll kind of wrap up this topic. So just to sum it up, you know, whatever obstacles and challenges you have, work them out, get moving forward on them, and put everything back in its proper order, and the adversity will dissipate, and reach the best expression of yourself. That means constantly learning and not taking yourself too seriously, not saying that's too hard, but asking how hard can it be. And really living up to your potential, or, you know, fulfilling your need, whatever terms you want to use, it doesn't matter. But be all that you can be. Be the best expression of yourself and lighten the load for others along the way by paying it forward in whatever ways you can. So tonight,
all right.
Before you pull cards, I would like to also say, and put this offer out again, that if you have your own deck of Inner Oracle cards and you want to pull a card for us or somebody or whatever, just do that and put the card number in the chat room and who it might be for, and then we'll read it. So go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
Well, I just pulled one for Dr. Tabby, and if you can be on deck there, Michael, for Fran. Dr. Tabby, I have number 38 for you, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions. You know what just came to mind as I was reading that for you, Dr. Tabitha, is you may be dealing with somebody who is not open-minded. You're wondering what the challenge is, and it's they might not be open-minded. I don't know why that just came to me. It just hit. So I hope that that applies somehow. So anyway, that's what I have. So Fran, we have Fran next. Mm-hmm. Michael?
And Fran also pulled the card for the evening. And what I'm going to do is, Fran, I'm going to pull your card, and then I'll read the card that you pulled for the evening. So Fran, for you, I pulled number 6, boundaries. This card represents boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, "Who owns me?"
That's good.
And Fran pulled number 19, Invoke the Counselor Within, for the evening.
That chimes right in with our second principle of belief.
There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
Isn't that fit right in with, sure with everything we've talked about tonight? I mean, that's the point. Listen to your own counselor. Listen to your own guidance. Listen to your own counsel.
Well, now I have one for Jeff, and Jeff has also said he picked a card for the evening. So I'm going to do the same. I'm going to read Jeff's card and then read the card that Jeff pulled for all of us. So, Jeff, your card is wild card number 4, unknowable. I got to tell you, it's one of my favorite cards. Mm-hmm. So there are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
That fits right in.
It sure does. Now, amazing. Jeff pulled wild card number 2. And you're going to love this, guys. And then some. When you've reached your limits and believe you've done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what's required to make a positive difference. You can do it. By doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it. Now, doesn't that just fit right in? Thanks, Jeff, for that one.
It does.
Wow.
Good points. Dr. Darlene is next. Michael?
And it's Night for Wild Cards. Dr. Darlene, I pulled wild card number 6. Entropy.
Entropy. Right?
Yes.
Good old entropy.
Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place.
So entropy, for those who may not be familiar with it, entropy simply is that phenomenon where everything goes back to the dust or becomes valueless, if you will. So somebody with high entropy would mean somebody who really offers no value to anything. Somebody with low entropy would offer high value. And so that's just something to keep in mind, you know. Everything goes back to the dust. Stars are born and they go supernova and on and on. Everything has its cycle. And so we want to make sure that our entropy is low. That means that we're valuable. We don't have low value. We're offering something of value. And we can do that by paying it forward, by fulfilling our potential, by being the best expression of ourselves and making the load a little lighter for those around us, being a part of that solution rather than the problem.
You know, one of the ways that I remember that point of entropy is thinking of people who are really high vibration, like mm-hmm. out of their body, hyper, you know, or I see it as not in their body, like yeah. not valuable, yeah. you know, not connected. Yeah. But somebody who's really connected with themselves, really grounded in their body, that's you know, a low entropy. That's mm-hmm. less demanding of the world. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I remember that.
Heather is next.
All right, Heather. Nice to have you here tonight, Heather. I have reinvention for you, which is number 17. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they're healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented? And maybe not so much just a should be reinvented, but what could be reinvented. So just thoughts to think about for you. Excellent. Interesting.
Well, it's been some good discussion tonight, talking about overcoming obstacles and reaching your potential and those cards that we pulled. Gosh, they always fit so well, you know, open-mindedness, boundaries, invoke the counselor within, unknowable, and then some, entropy, reinvention. They all fit into that puzzle, if you will. So some excellent points to think about. I hope that you found value in this. These thoughts tonight, this program, and again, I'll throw it out there. If you have any topics you'd like to hear discussed in this program, don't hesitate to email us. If you're a student, just send it to the regular student email, admin@metaphysicsinstitute.org, or you can send it to admin@icmhchurch.org, any of those, right on the website. So, and we'd be happy to do that. So, again, thanks to everybody for joining us tonight in the live this live program. Those listening to the archive, we appreciate you too. Thanks to Dr. Hunter as always and Michael Kelly. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.